dwelling in your
court. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can draw for your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome and blessings from Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast. It's exciting that you've joined us as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We offer these broadcasts with the hope that they will help you better understand the Scriptures and more passionately follow the Savior. Please know we are praying that for you as you listen today. If you have specific prayer needs, we would like to know about them. Please text us at 772-205-6552. Today's message is the 11th in a series titled, How Big is Your God? Jesus has redeemed us from the power of sin and death. One day, He will deliver us from the presence of sin and death. But not today for most of us. The question then is, why are we still here? The answer is that God is chiseling away all the things that don't look like Jesus, all of the things that prevent God from bringing the victory and glory He wants to show the world through us right now. Would you ask God to speak to you about these things as we listen to this message from our pastor, Sam Chess?
Let's read together one more time, Romans 8, 9 through 11. Such an amazing passage, so life-changing, and I personalized. Everywhere there was a you, I took it out and put in an I. Let's read it together, and then I'll explain as we go along why this is so important. Romans 8, 9 through 11, reading together, I am not controlled by my sinful nature. I am controlled by the Spirit if I have the Spirit of God living in me. 10, Christ Jesus lives in me. So even though my body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives me life because I have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to my mortal body by His Spirit living within me. And we asked the question last week, why? How? Is that just biblical poetry? Or is that supposed to be the truth about every person sitting in this room or every person watching on the stream? And if you're new to Christianity, you might say, what kind of weirdness is that in that video about chipping away the sin in my life? And to some, Christianity is just an idea. It's just the name of one's religion, the cross one wears around their neck to remind them of their mother. But to those who believe what the Bible actually says, the Almighty, Sovereign, Creator God of the universe loved us, His special in His image creation, so much that even though we all ran away from His outstretched gracious arms, He loved us, He so loved us so deeply, you and me, so deeply that when we couldn't save ourselves, God Himself came to this planet and He took on human form, Jesus, all God and all man, all at the same time. And He died on a cross in my place, taking my sins on Himself to pay my complete sin penalty. And then He turns around and He offers to me and He offers to you, in exchange for our sinfulness, He offers us forgiveness. He offers us soul cleansing. If you haven't received God's forgiveness today, you can. We'll get to that at the very end. But there's more. Don't stop there. The New Testament teaches even more than just the forgiveness of past sins. As Jesus went back to heaven, He left with the promise that he was going to prepare a place for me, going to prepare a place for you. And the promise that he would one day return, he would come back again, and that we would spend an eternity in his presence. Christianity is clearly about more than a cross around your neck reminding you of your mother. And here we are at a time when just yesterday I stood right here and we said goodbye to one of our own. I want to pause for just a moment here. And I want to think about what Jesus is up to right now and how deeply that affects every one of us in this room. Let me show you the Message paraphrase. I don't typically do that. Of John 14, 1 and 2, Jesus' great promise, don't let this throw you, he said to his disciples. You trust God, don't you? Trust in me. There's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And with the memorial service yesterday of our dear buddy, heard that often yesterday, Jerry Katzman, right here in this room, I think it would do us good to think about what Jesus went back to do, what he's up to right now. He said he was going back to heaven to prepare a place for you. And yesterday I said these words that I've said often before. The point of this life is not really this life. In fact, death is not a period. Tell me the rest. Death is a comma. A period brings an end to a sentence. It brings the end to a paragraph. It brings the end to a chapter. It brings the end to a book. A comma doesn't do that. A comma is just a brief pause, a soft pause in the middle of a sentence, the sentence all about the same thing. Jerry heard me say that a number of years ago, and he loved it. And he said it to me over and over, and he would write it to me, and he would say it to me on the phone. Death is not a period. Death is a comma. Hear me now. Now he has experienced it. He knows what's on the other side of the comma. And he heard me say this many times. You heard me, if you were here, say this yesterday. Jesus' death and resurrection is the one fact that gives meaning to this rather difficult life in this sin-choked world. If Jesus has gone before us in death, if Jesus has defeated sin, if Jesus has defeated the grave and risen from the dead, and if we embrace his gift of forgiveness, if we accept his gift of eternal life as our own, we do not need to fear what happens when we die, when our tomb is full. In fact, because Jesus' grave is empty, you don't have to fear when yours is full. Now, those are not just cute funeral sayings that roll easily off the tongue. Jesus left word that for every single one of us, he was preparing our future home. He says, I'm getting ready for you to spend all of eternity with me. And he is. He is. I was teasing Dean Clevenger this week with all of the deacon stuff that he was doing for other people this week. I said, your mansion in heaven must be getting closer and closer to the throne room of God. They're moving it, in fact, this week to get you closer to God's throne. And we laughed, but that's not just funny talk. The Bible actually described what Jesus is preparing right now for you, his redeemed child. It's in the last two chapters of the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Did we even know this was in the Bible? Let me show it to you on the screen. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Listen, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. Now watch verse 17. This will show up on the screen. John records when the angel went to this holy city that's coming down out of heaven. He measured it. The angel measured it, and he found it was square. Did you know this was in the Bible? It was as wide as it was long, and it was also as high as it was wide and it was long. In fact, its length and its width and its height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick. It sounds like something out of a Star Trek movie, does it not? And yet, this 1,400-mile cube, think about this. This 1,400-mile cube, this descending holy city, is going to be massive. In fact, if the corner of that holy city came to this earth and landed somewhere near the existing Jerusalem, the rest of it would cover the entire Middle East as we know it today. Now listen, if each level in the city, remember, Jesus went to prepare room for you. If each level in the city were 1 mile high, if your mansion in heaven had a ceiling height of 1 mile, wouldn't that be neat? The total surface area inside of that would be 2,628,072,000 square miles, which is more than 13 times the surface area on the earth. We think of the earth as so huge, but it's just one layer. Jesus is preparing something for us that he describes in the book of Revelation that's so massive that inside of it, if your room was a mile tall, inside of it is 13 times the surface area of the earth. Now listen to me. Depending on what happens to us in the days immediately after we die, and the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Depending on what happens to us right after we die, Jerry Katzman is there, wherever it is right now, before it comes here to earth. The throne room of God is there in that holy city. And in fact, the throne room of God is carefully described in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 4. Something that we're seeing when we look through our telescopes at the extreme distant parts of the universe, something that we're seeing that we think is a star is not a star. It's the holy city. You will live there one day, according to what the Bible says. Did that blow your mind? Jesus is seeing to the preparation of Dean Clevenger's room right now in that holy city. And his room, I'm sure, is very close to the throne room of God. And mine is on floor 8,356. I told him you'd have to take a whole field trip just to come and see me. But I really want you to hear this. Your room is being prepared there right now, too, if you are a redeemed child of God. The same Jesus you trusted for salvation said so, right out of his very mouth. And if you think all of this sounds just too weird, take it up with God. Because I didn't inspire this stuff to be written. He did. But isn't this a lot more important? Isn't this really a lot more important than how long the girl took to prepare your French fries at Wendy's yesterday? Really? Or how slow the guy was driving in the left lane on US 1? I know it doesn't seem like it at the time when we're living out our daily lives. Everything that we're doing seems so radically important at that exact moment in time. But not only did Jesus come here to pay the sin penalty for your sins on a cross, not only did he rise from the dead, defeating sin and Satan and death, and then offering us eternal life. Not only did he lift out of here promising that he was going to prepare a place for us. Not only did he promise that he would come back again someday and we would spend all of eternity with him. He did all of that. He did all of that. And he will return one of these days just like he said. In fact, let me pop up here. This is in my mind. I just almost can't do it. Revelation chapter 19. I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. 13, he wore a robe dipped in blood. His title was the Word of God, the armies of heaven dressed in the finest of pure white linen. That is always a description of the redeemed saints. Always, always. Which, you know what that means? In that awful looking picture, just kind of imagine that guy we memorialized yesterday right here in this room will be there. And so will you when Jesus returns the second time. Let me read the rest of it. He wore a robe dipped in blood. His title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. That's all part of the inspired truths that we find in the New Testament. But it's still not the whole thing. I just kind of gave you an overlay of what we teach as the gospel. It's still not all of it. While Jesus is off preparing your mansion, before he comes back to get you, that period in the middle, that period of time is another huge part of what Scripture teaches about our Christian lives. What we often call the church age. And then we ask why. Why in the world is that even true? Why did he go at all? Why didn't he just set up his eternal reign right after he rose here from the dead? Why the 2,000 years? So that you would have time to be born and you would have time to live your life too. Scripture says it was all about Jesus forming a growing group of people who would repent of their sinfulness, who would accept his gift of redemption. And those people would learn what it means not only to experience forgiveness for past sins, but they would know what it means to be increasingly transformed into the very nature of Jesus himself. How? How? How would that happen? Jesus promised us that his own Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would be given to us, would fill us, and would transform our old sinful nature into a brand new righteous nature from the inside out. Now, right now, before you ever get to heaven. Let me show you 2 Corinthians 3:17 again. I show you this a lot, but it has become one of my favorites because it describes this whole process maybe better than any other scripture, single scripture in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. The Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He's here. Freedom supposed to be here too from sin's bondage. So all of us who have had that veil removed, that sin veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image, an ongoing being, a progressive action. The Spirit of God inside makes us more and more like him. My character becomes more like him. My words become more like his. My actions, the influence of my life, becomes more and more like the very image of Jesus. And those amazing truths are in 565 verses in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. I told you about that. We pulled them all out. They're all on a single sheet, 27 pages. I told you last week you could ask me for them and I'd send them. A lot of you did. Several of you did. Some of you did this morning. You can do that. Me. Send it to me personally. SamuelEchess@AOL.com, SamuelEchess@AOL.com, and I will send you every scripture in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. But I tell you what I want to do. I want to focus this for a little bit on just one piece of that, the amazing, stunning Romans chapter 8 in the Bible. There are a few scriptures in the Bible that go so far, so deep to explain what God is actually promising to do inside of you is Romans chapter 8. And the nice thing about Romans 8, it lets us personalize every inspired verse. And I want to do that for you today. I've taken pieces of it and personalized it here today. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Would you do this with me as well? Because I changed every you to I or every we to I so that it's your personal verse now. God sent his own son in a body like we sinners have. In that body, God declared an end to sin's control over me by giving his son as a sacrifice for my sins. Verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting my sinful nature control my mind leads to death. Life and peace. Let me just pause with us there. And let's tell God today, oh God, how I long for what Jesus promised and provided. And increasingly, listen to the words, spirit-filled, spirit-controlled life where the umpire in my life is peace, inner peace. We are living in the middle of a pandemic, for goodness sake. Letting the Spirit control my mind leads to life and peace. And there's so much unpeaceful around us. We watched things take place this week that are massive peace robbers. Just this last week, with a scrawl of the pen, this week, the Mexico City policy was snuffed out. President Ronald Reagan started that policy. It's called Mexico City because that's where he announced it back in January 20th, 1985. But that policy stopped all U.S. tax dollars, all of them, from funding abortions all over the world. We were doing it to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars. And he stopped it. And the next president came along and he started it back up again, tens of millions of dollars. And then the next president stopped it. And the next president came along and turned it back on again. But this week, with a flourish of a pen, tens of millions of your tax dollars started pouring out to NGOs, non-governmental organizations all over the world, to once again begin to fund abortions. And our hearts fell into our shoes over the coming loss of innocent human life. But letting the Spirit control my mind leads to life and peace. Here's the familiar part of Romans 8. Let's do this one again. I am not controlled by my sinful nature. I am controlled by the Spirit if I have the Spirit of God living in me. Christ Jesus lives in me. So even though my body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives me life because I have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to my mortal body by his Spirit living with him. Now take this on to verse 12. Watch this, all personalized just for you. I have no obligation to do what my sinful nature urges me to do. For if I live by its dictates, I will die. But if through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, I put to death the deeds of my sinful nature, I will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Please take those words to heart. What if that really is God's number one goal for your life this year? What if that's what God wants for you? The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And he is without question there to transform the inner you into somebody brand spanking new. That's what his promise is. And he will, in fact, break the chains, every chain, whatever is holding you down, whatever needs chipped away in your life, whatever chain is holding you into sin and holding me into sin, he is so willing to break that apart. I preached 3 weeks ago a very personal, very emotional sermon. And I said then, I really do believe that what we're talking about here right now is God's plan for each of us in this new year. And I need to add some to that. I need to add another very personal part to that. And I need to add something that for me is a very emotional part to that. But let me build to it. First of all, let me say the words again that I said to you on January the 10th. Here's the first sentence. God wants this coming year to be the most intensely victorious year of your whole life. And I realize that sounds like a preacher, rah, rah, let's go trip. I mean that. God wants this year, 2021, with all the junk that's going on around us and the pandemic that still kind of rules this world, God wants this year to be the most intensely victorious year of your whole life. And I've added spiritually, mentally, some of you that resonates with, emotionally, physically, relationally, in the influences that are going on in and around your life. Number two, God wants you to come to the end of 2021, and he wants you to be able to say, that may have been one of the most turbulent years I have ever seen in society around me. And I think it probably is going to be so. But it was the most spiritually powerful year I have ever known in my 63 years or your years of existence.
We take a brief pause from today's broadcast to welcome those just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We're listening to the 11th message from a series titled, How Big is Your God? God's Word says that God loved us and chose us before He made the world. He chose us to be holy and blameless. He chose us to be a mighty people in a world broken by sin. If you'd like to reach out to us during the broadcast or want someone to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
Number three, this is new. Remember, God put you on this planet for this exact moment in time. You're here for a reason, right now. And this is new. I didn't even think of this before this week until I heard something that David Jeremiah said. God saw your specific life before He ever created the sun or the moon, before the foundations of the world. And He saw the inner transformation that He wanted to bring inside of you. And He saw the gifts that He was going to give you. And He saw what you could do with them to bring eternal, Spirit-led change into the world around you as you live out this year. Whatever it's going to bring, He saw the transformation that would not only happen inside of you, that would happen out through you into the lives of other people. And number four, this isn't going to be a year for you to hide out in fear. This is a year to lift up your shield of faith, pick up the sword of the Spirit, and walk straight into the already pitched spiritual battle that's obviously going on around. Now, I'm suggesting two distinct avenues for us to follow this year. Two of them. Very opposite, very different avenues. The first of it is about God getting ready to use us like He never has before. I'm convinced that's true of a number of you in this room, and I believe that it's true for me. But by inviting His indwelling Holy Spirit to fill us, to reshape us, to mold us, to transform us into the exact person that He designed you to be when He put you on this planet. I want you to log into that image of God thinking about you, you filling the mind of God before the beginning of time. Revelation chapter 13 says that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. In His mind, He already had died on our behalf before He ever created the sun or the moon. And Ephesians chapter 1 says, and I've read this so many times, but to me it's so very, very important. Even before He made the world, God loved you and He chose you to be in Christ, to be holy and without fault in His eyes. He decided in advance of what? In advance of making any of this, He decided in advance to adopt you into His own family by bringing you to Himself through Christ Jesus. And let me add in 13. When you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give you the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. And this indwelling Holy Spirit of Jesus is the avenue that He's going to use to change us into His divine image. And there is not a single person in this room that truth does not apply to. Not one of us. Not anybody watching on the stream that doesn't apply to. Once you have repented of your sins, once you have embraced Jesus' forgiveness, He then begins to ready the process of transforming the old sinful you into a brand new righteous you. And it so struck me this week that He was thinking about my life before He ever began to create the world. And He was thinking about you and what you would be doing and what you could do and how He could transform you and how He could then use you in a powerful way when a planet seemingly was out of control. Before He ever breathed the breath of life into humanity, He was thinking about you. And this next verse is your personal promise. So I've taken the liberty of personalizing it too. These are our verses. This is not some verse that's vague and generic. This is your verse. This is mine too, because I have it on my desk. It means so much to me. 2 Peter 1:3. Personalize. Read it with me. By his divine power, God has given me everything I need for living a godly life. I have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called me to himself by his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given me great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable me to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by my human desires. If there's ever been a time in history that we need to take that truth seriously, I think it's coming in the 2021 year and beyond. And I have a prayer here. Dear God, I may not have been a very serious Christian in the past, but that's going to change right now. Would you think that through with me? If that applies to you, I believe what Pastor Sam is saying about you putting me on this planet for this exact moment in time. And I believe that you're planning the eternal things that I could do with my life, and you planned them even before you made this world. And God, I'm going to stop being a part-time Christian. If that applies to you, I really ask you to listen to this today. I'm going to stop being a part-time Christian. I'm going to take off my shoes. I'm going to dive into the deep end. I want my life, no matter how spiritually weak I feel, I want my life to count for now. And I want my life to count for all of eternity. Many of you have used the prayers that we have given you the last few weeks. They're now in a booklet, thanks to Penny Worley. There's a pile of them on the back there. But many of you have been telling me how much these prayers are changing your world, how much they're changing your life. And the reality is you don't need written prayers. But the other reality is many of us don't know what to pray. And because we don't know what to pray, we end up kind of not praying at all. So God gave me these prayers, not for you. He gave me these prayers for me. And then as we begin to approach this year and moved our way into this year, God began to say, I really want those prayers to go to the people, your friends at Grace Emmanuel Church. And so I gave you, first of all, the Living in the Spirit prayer. And so many of you have been telling me that the Living in the Spirit prayer, which is nothing more than 27 quotes right from the Bible about what God promises that will happen when the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And so many of you have said, the Living in the Spirit prayers, I begin to pray it, I begin to see this transformation going on the inside. I'm not the same person. I'm asking God to take away the crud. We'll talk about that next week. Take away the crud that's in me, the stuff that fills my soul, and allow his Spirit to flow not only into me, but flow out through me. I want to pause, and I just want to take a couple of excerpts, and let's put these up on the screen, and let's read this together, and I'd like you, as you read it, to just kind of personalize it. This is my prayer to you, God. If you get one of these booklets and you read this prayer, it's you and God. Get alone somewhere. Don't do this with people. This is you and God doing this privately, and you're talking to him. You're tugging on heaven for what he wants to do in and in through your life. Let's just read some of these. Dear Father, let me be submitted to and controlled by the presence of the Holy Spirit within me and not by the residue of my sinful nature. I give you my mind, my will, my emotions, and my physical body as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, and acceptable. Do you see how they're just quotes from the Bible that you're familiar with? Dear God, let me be continually being filled with your promised Spirit. I ask you to fill the sails of my soul and propel me forward with a purposeful, transforming, reshaping power and guidance of your Holy Spirit. That certainly has to mean emptying out those godly things that stifle or grieve you. One more excerpt. I commit to elevating your truth-guiding leadership over all the other noises this year that crash against my life. I commit to follow you without argument. Again, I commit to follow you without argument. wherever you lead me, dear God. One more time, I commit to follow you without argument. The second avenue for us to follow for a victorious life, I believe, in 2021 is a very aggressive pushing back against the forces of darkness that are around us, in our lives, in our families' lives, and that's so important, in our community, in our nation, in our world. I think it's time that we exerted spiritual authority. The spiritual authority that comes from having the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of us. Amen. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to my mortal body by his Spirit living within me. Let me just ask you this question. Listen carefully. It's not going to be on the screen. In what alternate universe would it make sense that I am living with the power that raised Jesus from the dead in me, and yet I am cowering in the corner while blow after blow from Satan rains down on my life? Did you hear what I said? In what universe would that make sense? That I have the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in me, and yet I'm living a defensive posture. Not offensive. I'm defending myself constantly against the fiery darts of the Satan. Here's yet another one of those pack of spiritual dynamite passages in Scripture. Let me just read it to you. It's on the screen. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That's your promise this year. Empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand that all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who's able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I told you that personal story back on January the 10th, that I was going through a really tough year last year, difficult situation. And in desperation, I called a black pastor friend of mine in Fort Pierce. And that man literally that day pulled on the power of heaven and pushed back against the forces of hell like no white pastor seems to be able to do. They just really know what they're doing. And I told you how I walked around the Tradition Lake after he got done praying with me, and I prayed like I hadn't prayed perhaps ever before. And then I went and got in my truck, and I began to pour out words as fast as my pen would write, page after page after page after page of what God was showing me from what just happened around the Lake of Tradition and the prayer of my friend. And then I started here the next Sunday a sermon series called What Scares Demons, saying stuff that I had never quite said before. And then it's all in a book now. It's 9 chapters. It's all almost done. Those 9 chapters called, again, What Scares Demons. But I wrote a prayer for myself during that time called My War Prayer. And that's what you have in this booklet now, at least in modified form. And amazingly, when I sensed Satan turning his machine gun of harassment on in my life, I found then, and I find still today, that praying this war prayer really did and now does push back the power of Satan, the power of darkness. And that's why I've adapted it for you to have in this booklet. And Penny has been so kind to put it together. But I had more paragraphs in that sermon 3 weeks ago than I preached. Left part of the sermon out. And I didn't even know I had until we were prepping that sermon for radio this last Thursday. Whole chunk. Didn't preach it. And I want to now. And then I want to add in some pieces that weren't there 3 weeks ago. But here's the part I left out. And here's the rest of the emotional part of the story. When I began to pray that war prayer in the middle of last year, I sensed the evil one saying to me, "You pray that prayer, and I'm going to come after you even harder than I have today." And I'm not advocating being a spiritual wise guy, because I kind of think you got to be careful there in how you go about this. But my response to Satan was, when you come after me harder, you can't come one step closer than my Heavenly Father will allow you to come. But when you come after me harder, I promise you, I will respond by teaching more and more people how to effectively fight back against you. And that's what I'm doing right now. The part that I didn't say 3 weeks ago was this. When I stood up here preaching the day before, Saturday, my wife and I were standing in the parking lot at Tradition Hospital with several more friends and family, crying out to God for the life of my friend Walter Barron, Pastor Walter Barron, the man who'd prayed for me. He was in ICU, deathly, deathly sick. And we called on heaven to preserve his life because so many more people needed that man's prayers. And the nurses turned him in ICU so he could see out the window and see us standing in Tradition parking lot. And I turned and I looked across the road at the sidewalk where I had been walking when Walter prayed for me. This last week, Pastor Walter Barron died. Went to be with Jesus. And I stood by his casket last evening. And I asked God to give me a portion of his spirit. Just like Elisha did Elijah. And I asked the same thing yesterday at Jerry Katzman's memorial right here in this room. And I understand that living with the anointing in my life, like Dr. Walter Barron or like Jerry Katzman, means letting some of the old ways go. I was talking to somebody this week in a way that I shouldn't have. And God checked me. There are things about you, Sam Chess, that really need to be reshaped, remade, transformed by the Holy Spirit within. Listen again. Dear God, let me be continually filled with your promised spirit. I will commit to elevating your truth-guiding leadership over all the other noises this year that crash against my life. I commit to follow you without argument wherever you lead me. And so we put in this second handout, this war prayer handout. Let me just do some excerpts here because I want to talk from them for the next 5 minutes. Here's part four. Satan, together with me. I have been promised by God in James 4:7 that if I submit myself to my Heavenly Father, and if I resist you and push back against the forces of darkness, that you will be forced to flee from me. You're not being a wise guy or a wise girl here when you pray this prayer. You're not sticking your finger in Satan's eye. You're exerting your legitimate spiritual authority. The authority that comes from having the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead living in you. And you're not quoting your words. You're quoting God's words. You're telling him exactly what he's told you to tell. You're not pushing back against the forces of darkness on your own. You're pushing it back against the forces of darkness in God's power. So here's what you do. Number five. So right now, I once again unconditionally submit myself to the power, presence, and protection of my almighty sovereign God. And number six, I notify you, Satan, to flee from my life and from the lives of all those God has entrusted to me. Fill in the blank. Pray for your family. Be powerful. Be full of spiritual authority for those God has put around you. I instruct that you must flee through the power of Jesus' death on the cross, through my Savior's total defeat of your temporary kingdom of darkness by his resurrection from the dead. I urge you to pray these prayers. I know for some it's very unfamiliar. For me it was. But don't miss the critical point of all of this. The image on the back wall behind me. Resisting the devil must be accompanied by submitting to God. This is how these two pieces come together. What if God calls you this year to surrender all that you are and all that you have and all that you do to His divine, infilling, Spirit's superintending guidance? What if this is your year that God is calling you, saying, come on, this is why I made you. This is the whole point of your life. This is it. But in return for submitting everything to Him, what if your life would shift up 10 gears? What if there would be a new ability in you to walk away from temptation rather than into the temptation? What if there would be an ability to choose priorities in life that have eternal implications? What if your words to others would take on a new life-giving power instead of words that are perhaps inane or destructive that sometimes pour out of our mouths, including my own? What if instead of your actions pushing people away from God, your life was like a magnet pulling people toward God? And what if there's a new motivation to accomplish truly important things with your life that have been on the back burner, constantly being replaced by unimportant or mundane things? And what if the impatience and anger that so often defines your responses was replaced by gentleness and graciousness? I'm just saying, that may not be your thing, it is mine. What if this is your year? What if the Spirit of God inside of you is calling to you to let Him do this transformation? And all you need to do is open up your arms and say, yes, I get it, God. I get why You thought about me before You created the whole world, and I'm here ready now. I may have resisted You up to this point, but I'm so ready for You to make me into the very person You intended me to be. One more thing. What if you get to the end of this year and you can look back on the greatest area of weakness in your life and you can say for the first time, perhaps, that great fault line that constantly threatened a spiritual earthquake, fracturing my whole existence, has so retreated, so been healed, so been cleansed out of my daily life and actions, my attitudes, my actions, my reactions, that it no longer controls me at all. That's what He's promising you. That's what Scripture promises you. That total transformation, where you actually begin to share the image of God, share His divine nature. His nature starts to become yours. His actions, His reactions start to come out of you. Not forced, they just come out of you because you've been changed on the inside. If I'm describing something that needs to happen inside of you, we're going to pray here. But you need to talk to God about this. I'm telling you what He's already offered you. All He wants from us is just this submit to God part. To say, yeah, yes, yes, I'm ready for that. I'm completely ready for that. I'm in with all of my heart. I'm in. Let's pray. God, You know us so well, and You know the lines of fracture that are so often in our lives that really could take us heavily one way or the other. And You know how often You've kept us, graciously guided us through things that could have just so ruined our lives. But You have us all at a place right now where we're looking forward without any idea what we're looking forward toward. But what we know is that the transformation may not happen in my world. The transformation has to happen inside of me. Something has to change me. And the Bible is so clear about what that something is. You offer us the Spirit of God to transform us into a whole new people. to each person in this room, each person on the stream, each person who will watch us in the next week. God, would you individually probe us today? Just kind of expose, bubble to the surface those areas of our life that you're not beating us up over. That's not your way. You're gently calling us. You died for us. You loved us that much. You're not going to beat us up now. You're going to call us to this new place. And then in your great grace, you're going to pour in and through us the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. So for each person watching this right now, God, let them, everybody else disappears. It's just them and you. And they're asking you, oh God, would you allow my life to become what Pastor Sam is describing? This fireball of the Spirit's power and presence that cleanses me and then radiates out through me to the world around me until the change in me begins to change everyone around me. God, I'm saying yes right now. I'm saying yes with every fiber of my being. That's what I want. I want what you want. I want to become transformed. I want my nature to become increasingly the very nature of my Savior. I want my actions and reactions to start to look like Jesus instead of the old me. And I'm there today. I'm saying it with all of my heart right now. I submit to you. I submit to you. Not for your harm, because you're not going to bring me harm. I submit to you to turn me into the very person that you designed for me to be. I submit to you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the message today. God wants to display His power in you to the world. He wants you to surrender everything that stands in the way of that. Please join us for some more discussion about this. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
What I found to be very interesting and captivating about this message that Pastor Sam preached on was the life-giving, life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Sam said, Jesus promised us His own Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who said He would give us, who would fill us to transform our old sinful nature into a brand new righteous nature right now before we ever get to heaven. And then the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then he adds, I love this, from sin's bondage. We are not bound by our sin anymore. The symbolism that I have in my mind the last few weeks that I just cannot get out of my mind is that God's will, God's great desire is to break off our heavy chains because He left them in the empty grave. We do not have to be bound by our sinful ways. This is the promise of our God. We were once dead in our trespasses. We were once dead in our sin. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians, I love this. He names all these sins, a plethora of sins. You were an idolater. You were greedy. You were wicked in some way or another. But now you have been washed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were once sons and daughters of destruction, as Paul so eloquently stated in the book of Ephesians, but we have now been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Beloved, God wants to lead us. God wants to guide us. The question is, are we letting Him? The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Let's experience the power of that more than we ever have before. God is waiting.
I think that oftentimes we get this tunnel vision or this blinders on the sides of our spiritual eyes that we look at our lives And even we look at what the power of God does in our lives as just our life. Or maybe even we look at what he's doing in our church or how we're impacting our neighbors. But there's an even grander thing that God is doing. In the middle of the sermon, Pastor Sam talked about this middle period after Jesus left and is now in heaven building our mansion. And he asked, why did he leave us here? Why would he form a growing group of people who would voluntarily repent of their sinfulness and accept the gift of redemption that Jesus offers? Well, the same question could be asked throughout history. Why would God not just establish his promised land? Why choose Abraham? Why would God not just go in and change everything in Palestine or wherever it was at that point? Why choose Moses? We're here and empowered by God's Holy Spirit so that we could be the kingdom-building church that Jesus said he was founding. And he's given us the power to do just that, to stand up, to fight back against the forces of evil in our own lives, in the lives of our community, in the lives of our world. Let's be kingdom builders in Jesus.
So let me issue that challenge, the very last thing that was in the sermon. I need this. That's why I'm issuing it to you. What if you get to the end of this year, 2021, and you can look back on the greatest area of weakness in your life, and you can say for the first time, perhaps, that great fault line that constantly threatened a spiritual earthquake, fracturing my whole existence, has so retreated, so been healed, so been cleansed out of my daily attitudes, out of my actions, that it no longer controls me. Oh God, I want to be able to get to the end of 2021 and say that. And oh, how I long for those who are listening today to be able to say the same. Oh, how we need to surrender and submit ourselves to your great lordship and let you fashion us into the very people you planned when you put us on this planet. Oh God, let it be true in me and let it be true in those who are listening today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to the program today. If you're listening and you're uncertain that you have the relationship with Jesus that you need, we want to help you. Please text us at 772-205-6552. Or go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We also want to invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. Please visit our website for more information about us. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, and our families, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the Lord of all victory, Jesus, give you the grace to surrender all to him this week. Please visit with us soon.